Chapter 11. Safe, Sane, Consensual. The Ethics of BDSM. A BDSM joke before we begin. A masochist walks up to a sadist and says, "Please, hurt me." The sadist replies, "No," and walks away. What being safe, sane, and consensual means. Creating a dominance and submission relationship takes planning, discipline, and a lot of care. You need to create conditions that satisfy both parties, as well as keep everyone safe and happy. But in the BDSM world, there is a larger set of rules that many people consider the tenets of building such a relationship, SSC, or safe, sane, and consensual. Let's break down each of these terms. Safe. Safe is easy enough to define. You're not going to do anything in your relationship that might severely harm the other. This means no cutting off of limbs, creating large open cuts, injuring the throat or neck, or suffocating anyone. Safety is also about learning the right ways to inflict pain on someone so that accidents don't happen and the submissive can enjoy the experience without worrying about their safety. Safety can come in many forms. Taking classes on how to do proper bondage techniques. Communicating regularly with the submissive during a scene. Stopping whenever the slave needs to. Testing any equipment to be sure that it's functioning properly before placing it on someone's body. When doing a rope suspension, making sure that the rope is still good and strong and able to support the person. And playing with someone in public settings before playing with them in private. You can add your own ideas to this list as well. Safety is a necessity, not only for physical well-being, but also for a long-lasting BDSM relationship. If you're constantly hurting someone, and not in a good way, the relationship may not last. Sane. Everyone's definition of sanity varies slightly, given their experiences, but it's safe to say that sane BDSM practices include not doing anything that is obviously harmful or detrimental to one's health or emotional well-being. For example, you are not going to tie someone up, leave them in the middle of the road, and then come back in the morning to see how they're doing. You're not going to rid someone of sleep and then interrogate them with verbal abuse. And you're not going to create genuine fear in your partner by doing things that are unreasonable and unrealistic, like locking them in your basement and leaving them there without food or water. Sane practices in BDSM are fairly common sense. Don't do anything that you wouldn't want done to you. Consensual. This is where the SSC rules become a little vague, as everyone has a different opinion of what a slave's services should include and just how much input they will have into these practices. Overall, consensual treatment begins with pre-play or pre-relationship negotiations that discuss what will and what will not be done in a play setting. This includes lengthy talks about things that might cause emotional harm to someone or physical limitations that might also be problematic to the slave or to the master. However, after determination of what can and cannot be done and when these activities take place, can solely be up to the will of the master or mistress. In short, this is consensual, non-consensual treatment. It's used for safety as well as to provide satisfaction for both parts of the relationship. However, others will say that consensual treatment during BDSM play takes away the role of a slave that is supposed to not have any say in their treatment. For some, they believe the slave should have no rights to make any decisions or state any desires. In short, they want an object that they can control. The trick with this kind of thinking is that objectifying someone can be a natural form of the actual dominance and submission play scenes, as well as living situations, but the boundaries and limitations need to be agreed upon so no one gets hurt and so that the slave has a clear understanding of what is expected of them. What you might want to remember is that consensual can still happen in even the strictest dominance and submission relationship, because the slave only agrees to what can be done with them and to them, but not the frequency or the way that it is done. But they still need to give their consent. Keeping these rules in mind will allow you to move from one dominance and submission experience to the next, as you will know how to be safe and how to treat someone, even in a play setting. These are unspoken rules, and those that do not follow them can sometimes find that they are ostracized from the BDSM community. Safe words. What most people recognize about safety is that you need to always be able to communicate, even when you're in the midst of a heavy scene filled with role-playing or humiliation. This is where the role of a safe word can come into play. Generally speaking, there are a few types of safe words that can be used during a scene. Words that mean stop, words that mean slow down, and words that mean something's wrong. Now, for some relationships, simply shouting out the problem is the easiest way to deal with a particular situation. If something is not going well, or the slave wants the master to stop for some reason, they will simply tell the master what is going on, and the scene can stop or change direction. But for others, the scene's intensity might rely on the idea that they are both playing roles, and that breaking these roles might cause the emotional response to be lessened, and that can cause a scene to go bad. This is where safe words can be used to alert a master as to a problem or situation. Some common safe words include red for stop, yellow for slow down, or various object names like fire truck or elephant, etc. You can certainly use any word that's easy to remember and to say when you need to stop a scene for whatever reason, but it needs to be something that you both recognize and that you can both understand immediately. When would you use a safe word? For example, when the slave is in pain? When the slave is feeling too scared in a scene? When the physical reaction is getting too intense? When the slave is running out of breath? Or when the slave notices that something might be harmful? But what you shouldn't do with a safe word is stop something if it's just uncomfortable. A safe word is really your emergency word that will get you out of a dangerous situation or one that might harm you psychologically. Using a safe word every time you feel a little hesitant to do something will not improve you as a slave, but rather will cause you to become more reliant on your out. And when you want to be the best slave possible, you need to strive to learn how to push past your limits and please your master. When you meet someone for the first time but you don't feel safe. Not all master and mistress relationships start off with an agreement and continue without any problems. As a slave, you might find yourself in a situation that isn't safe. So, what do you do in this case? First of all, you need to establish some sort of communication between you and a trusted friend that knows about your lifestyle. This will mean that you're going to give them a schedule of where you're going, as well as for how long. If you deviate from this schedule, your friend will know to contact the authorities and direct them to your location. This is not a time to feel self-conscious about what you're doing when the police come, but rather proud for having thought of your safety and welfare first. However, you might also be concerned that they will do something harmful to you if they realize that you're not feeling comfortable and want to leave. Here are some tips. Have a friend call you during your meeting time, but set your caller ID to read Mom. Let the other know that you might be expecting a call from your mom during your meeting, so if your phone rings, you need to answer it. If they seem perturbed by this, leave immediately, saying that you think this is fairly ordinary occurrence and that you feel this should be respected. If they don't say anything, make sure that your friend, Mom, calls during the middle of your time together as well as towards the end. If you're having doubts about the person you're with, your mom might need you to come home immediately or need directions somewhere, but you can't explain it to them, so you need to go home. If you're okay with the meeting, you can talk to your mom and tell her that you'll call her later. If you're unable to leave, tell the caller that you're going to pick up something from the store for them on the way back from your meeting. And if you can't respond to the phone call, your friend will call the authorities. While this sounds paranoid, this will help you have a safety net should you meet with someone with less than honorable intentions who may want to hurt you in some way or kidnap you. Never go to a private place that you haven't told this friend that you were going to, ever. At least, not until you know this master or mistress better. Safety calls if the sub can't talk. There will be times when a slave is gagged or tied into a position where they may not be able to talk, or the slave might begin to have a problem with their breathing and be unable to call out their safe word for help. What happens then? If you are doing any form of bondage or scene that involves these possibilities, you need a backup plan for the safe word in order to prevent anything harmful from happening. Some ideas for safety calls if the sub cannot talk. have the slave hold onto something heavy. They can drop this object if they need to signal for help. When it's heavy, it will be easy to hear. The slave can hold onto a stuffed animal. This brightly colored toy will be easy to spot by a master or mistress when it is dropped during an emergency. The slave might have a tapping signal they can use, like 3 taps on the master, for example. The slave might have a movement that they can do when they need assistance or to get out of a certain position. There are a number of things that you can plan ahead of time to allow a slave to be able to communicate with their master or mistress when they are unable to speak. And while this might seem like it would take the excitement and suspense out of a scene, it actually allows the sub to be more focused on what is happening because they're not fearful of having something go wrong. If you're unable to come up with a suitable way to alert the master, then it's the master's responsibility to ensure that they are checking on the condition of their sub and preventing any injuries from happening. Talk with other BDSM players to see what advice they might have as well. Other ideas are bells or beeping things that have buttons that can be pushed. Health concerns that need to be addressed ahead of time. Because of the physicality of BDSM and dominance and submission relationships, there are some things that you will need to be aware of before you start to play with any partner. Ask about any health conditions that might be affected during an intense session where the blood is pumping fast, you're breathing quickly, and you're straining yourself and your muscles. Some things that might cause problems are heart conditions, high blood pressure, drug problems, alcohol problems, asthma, diabetes, or blood-borne diseases like AIDS, etc. If your slave has any of these kinds of conditions, it's best to have them check with their doctor before engaging in any sort of heavy play. This will ensure that they aren't harming themselves needlessly with their prior condition, and that the master or mistress won't become liable for anything that might happen during some playtime. In terms of blood-borne diseases, you'll want to have some safety precautions in place, such as gloves, protective eyewear, condoms, etc. Other things that you might want to think about, flexibility. When in tough bondage positions, the muscles can be pulled in directions they're not used to, and your slave should alert you to any weak points that might be injury-prone. Any past injuries, anxiety issues, or depression issues. While these kinds of conditions don't necessarily preclude a person from being a slave or a master, they will require some advance planning to ensure that nothing happens before, during, or after a session that might be problematic. For example, someone with a history of abuse might have troubles handling a face-slapping scene and can become psychologically hurt. But if that is known ahead of time, this can be avoided. Those that do have previous conditions will want to make sure that they are taking any required medications and are following their doctor's orders. To help in emergency situations, slaves or masters with certain conditions should write out any instructions that someone should follow in case they should lose consciousness for some reason. Ways to help soothe and heal broken skin. While this subject was touched upon earlier, there are some things that you can do to help ease any skin irritation from paddling, spanking, or whipping, etc. Doing this will help the skin heal more rapidly and be ready for the next hot and heavy scene. This also becomes a time of cuddling and reconnecting with your partner once the scene has ended. For bruises, apply ice first and then try arnica gel. For cuts or welts, clean the area thoroughly with warm water and a gentle soap. Apply antiseptic lotion like Bactine. If the cuts are bleeding, add some triple antibiotic ointment like Neosporin and then bandage appropriately. When you have bigger sores or welts on an area of skin, it's best to avoid touching them until they're fully healed. Doing so can cause deeper damage and possibly a massive infection that will need medical attention. While it might be tempting for some slaves to want to have scars left from their scenes, remember that healing up is the best way to be able to head into the next scene stronger than ever. Never deny yourself proper medical care. Other safety tips that you need to know. Some of the best safety tips cannot be taught, but only come from experience and paying attention to what is going on around you. Most accidents happen when someone is not looking or when something was not planned properly, not necessarily from what is going on in the scene. Here are some other safety tips that you can use in your private dominance submission practice, as well as in a public setting. Keep any and all sex toys clean and sanitized. If you're concerned about pieces that are found at your local sex club, be sure to bring a hospital-grade solution of sanitizer with you and fresh paper towels. Never drink or do drugs before a scene. These chemicals will inhibit your reaction times as well as make promises and limits a bit hazy. You need to have a clear head and a clear decision-making ability when you have been entrusted with someone's safety. Play it clean. Wear latex gloves. When you're playing with someone in a public setting, it never hurts to wear latex gloves to protect them and everyone else from infections and STDs. Not only are they sexy in a nursier, naughty male patient kind of way, but they also will keep you safe. While it sounds a little paranoid, assume that everyone is infected with something that you don't want. If someone says stop or their safe word, stop immediately. This cannot be stressed enough. If you are angry or emotional about something, do not take it out on a slave or submissive. Get your head on straight first before you interact with anyone. And if you have equipment like whips or bondage furniture that is in need of repair or replacement, don't wait. Even the smallest crack or rip might cause someone else a lot of pain. This is the end of Chapter 11.